listen to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Rogue Startups. This is episode 160. Dave, we're on quite the roll these days, pumping episodes out like it's our job, even though it's not our job, but we're doing pretty good.
If we only got paid for this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's some people that make pretty decent money from podcasts, and it's a lot of work, I think.
Yeah, I am very happy that we're not actually going down that sponsorship road or trying to do the Patreon thing or whatever, because that just seems like a hell of a lot of work, and it really sort of sucked the joy out of this.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, we're fortunate to say, like, all right, turn, you know, have a Zoom call, hit record, and talk about whatever we feel like. I mean, a lot of times we have articles we want to talk about or whatever, but yeah, I mean, I think this week it's just more of kind of updates since we've been kind of, we had a guest and a couple guests around the end of the year and kind of want to talk about, we're going to talk about the desert today a little bit, right, Dave?
The desert. scorpions and rattlesnakes, oh my.
but yeah, so how are things going, man?
Well, you know, they've been pretty busy actually lately. So for Recapture, we're trying to nail down some integrations and push forward on that stuff. So I get like daily emails from my developer, Mike, about that, trying to figure out various quirks of things. So we're doing that. I've spent some time in some customer development and trying to get a survey to get people to respond to a survey in Recapture. And man, I got everybody in Business Directory doing it, but I am really struggling to get responses in Recapture. Like, I had a great call yesterday with one of my customers who runs a supplements business. And I was on the phone with him for like 45 minutes and talking to him about what he's struggling with and what he's not and stuff like that. That was really great. So maybe what I need to do is like try to schedule one-on-one calls instead of the survey thing, because it just doesn't, you know, my third year of asking for that, and this is the first year where I've got, you know, a practical dud on this.
Yeah.
Very disappointed on that, especially considering how successful it was in BD. So
with the call that you had with your supplements guy, do you think that the stuff he was saying is like representative of stuff that other of your customers or potential customers would be saying? Like, is that like a representative sample, you think?
I don't. And here's why I don't. So he's probably like one of my top customers. He has a very high volume of gross revenue going through. So we are like wildly successful for him. He's at our highest tier of payment. So, you know, anytime he wants to talk to me, I'm like, oh yeah, dude, here's my personal cell phone number.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the things that he's talking about are not like at different tiers of in e-commerce. There are definitely different considerations. So he's a guy in Magento. He's been working on this for, God, I don't know, years and years at this point, at least a decade, I think. And the stuff that he's concerned about, the level of sophistication he talks about his email campaigns is not the same as I see with all other e-commerce customers. Like somebody who's getting started out and they're making like $5,000 a month or something like that. You're going to see, you know, how do I get more customers and how do I optimize this and how do I do that? And I'm struggling with shipping or I'm struggling with customer support or order fulfillment or inventory management or whatever. None of those are his problem. Absolutely. Yeah. None.
He's at another level, huh?
He's at a total different level. He's like very concerned about like open rates and bounce rates and conversion rates and trying to make sure that everything's dialed in. So we had an extensive conversation about reviews and how we could actually get him to have more reviews. So I went and looked up a bunch of stuff. I reviewed his campaigns. I gave him some specific suggestions and said, these are the things that I would do if I was your campaign. You know, send more email, change these subject lines, do this, test this, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, he's very much in the A-B optimization, because each one of those micro optimizations for him can be $10,000
yeah,
a campaign. So, I mean, this can have some pretty serious impact on his business. Whereas with somebody else getting started out and they're still trying to find their own product market fit and they're still trying to get the messaging down or their store, you get the layout and the checkout flow, like all of that stuff, he's got dialed in. He's worrying about things at a very different level. So, you know, I wish I had 100 more of him because he just gets it. He's like, yeah, I'll pay your top tier. That's no problem. Hmm. Because he's recovering so much money, it's just stupid for him not to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he asks great, intelligent questions, but, you know, where do I find more guys like him? That's the question. And I haven't found the magic forum, the magic channel. You know, the guys like him are not looking on the app store. They're talking to their friends. And they, you know, how do I get into those circles? That's what I really want to know. So
yeah. Yeah. That's interesting, man. I think that that's the question really is like as you're looking for a higher degree of product market fit, how do you get those scalable, repeatable marketing channels? And I think it's I don't have an answer for sure. It seems like it's different for everyone, you know? Like you go to, like I remember specifically at SaaS Talk last year, went to like three talks in a row. One was like it's Facebook ads, the other one is like it's content marketing, the other one's like it's cold outreach. And you're like, okay, it's not 100% for sure any of those. It's just like kind of whatever works for you and your business and your industry, which is a shitter because like we're all looking for like the answer. But I think the reality is it probably doesn't, like there's not a answer, right?
No, there's definitely not. And that's the struggle.
yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that's been going along. The plugins, there's some changes coming for the Classifieds plugin. We're trying to push a big release out and I've mostly been uninvolved with this. There's beta testing stuff going back and forth between my support person and my developer that's working on that. And they're wrapping issues up and I'm hoping that that gets wrapped up here sometime in February. But yeah, it's been quiet otherwise and then lots of work on the freelance client. So that's keeping me out of trouble for now.
Nice. Nice.
How about you?
Man, yeah. So, yeah, it's like a tale of two cities over here. So like, you know, with Castos and with Podcast Motor, things are going well, growing and, you know, everything is getting easier, which is really nice. It's like, you know, we're growing and it's getting easier and all this kind of stuff. We did some kind of infrastructure upgrades with Castos over the last couple of weeks, which makes our operating costs lower by kind of a lot, like 30%, which is nice. And yeah, just kind of looking to get more repeatable, predictable action there. You know, how do we grow? What do we put in this side to get more money out that side? That kind of stuff is kind of where we are now. But I think, you know, I've been wanting to talk about Sales Camp more on the show and I would love to talk through with you kind of where we are and let everyone else know kind of, I guess, where we are. Funnily, I guess, you and I had a call last week at our normal podcasting time. So this episode will be coming out late and maybe like on the wrong day or something because we got on a call last week and I was just like, I was not in a good spot. I was not.
Yeah,
the
words that come to mind are Debbie Downer.
Yeah,
you were definitely not in a good place there. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it, you know, honestly, so kind of like full transparency, it is because it was Sales Camp. I bought it about 10 months ago, almost a year ago, and we've done a lot of dev work on it. I feel like I've done a decent amount of marketing on it. Not a lot. I shouldn't say a lot. I've done some marketing on it, with a lot of product work and we're basically nowhere still. We have about $100 in MRR right now. And, it's really challenging because I look at the business model, probably like you do a little bit with recapture, like it's so directly tied to your customer's financial success that it's really appealing as a business model. But then I look at it and say, like, I am just like spinning my wheels with this because I have other things that are working well. Why is this not working well? What would it take to make this start working to be growing, you know, $100 a month even? And like, what am I missing? Is it product? Is it marketing? Is it the type of people I'm marketing to? And so, yeah, I've been going through a lot of those kind of thoughts in my mind and talking to you and other people that I kind of know and respect. And I'm trying to come to some conclusions around like what I'm going to do with this, because it's getting to the point where you got to like, you know, shit or get off the pot. You can't just sit around and have an app that basically does nothing for too long. That's, I don't know, that's kind of where I am.
That is the worst feeling ever, to have a product that's just not going anywhere despite what effort that you've put into it. I've felt that at various other products, whether it was, you know, my very first one with Cronless, and I barely got that thing off the ground, Wright Brothers style, to where it was just barely airborne. And I'm like, okay, here's a full motion airplane. You buy it now, please. It's all balsa wood and tissue paper.
Yeah.
There's others. Support Vine was kind of like this. It never even got off the ground, but, you know, all that dev work I put into it and then had no real addressable market in there or market need or anything that I could find that would resonate with people on that. That feeling sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on top of all that, you know, there's that James Kennedy, you haunt me. I just want to say that. And not in a creepy stalker sort of way. Your words haunt me, because every time I think about my marketing channels now, I go back to the conversation that we had when James was on the show, and he was talking about, you just have to keep trying different things on the same channel. It's not enough to go 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks on one thing and say, this channel sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah. I keep thinking about that, and I'm like, well, how much is not, you know, how many times do I have to try before I can say this channel is piece of shit?
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And that can take a long damn time if I have to wait 8 weeks for each attempt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, I just burned 6 months here. Did I just waste a massive opportunity cost? You know, and maybe this is just, you know, the old guy and me coming out here. But I look at my opportunity costs of all of these things and I'm like, how much more of these opportunities am I going to get?
Right.
You know, did I just waste a major one right here?
Right.
So there's always this haunting voice that, you know, it sounds Irish in the back of my head that's telling me, you haven't tried enough of the channel yet. That was the worst imitation of James Kennedy. I apologize.
We just lost a listener.
We probably lost all of our Irish listeners there, because Dave sounded more like the Lucky Charms serial character than any. And I also like to refer to myself in the third person occasionally when I do accents, just to
you know, I mean, you hit it right on the nose, I think. So one is opportunity cost. The other thing that I think about though is like potential, whatever, deal size or business size or growth opportunity or something like that. Like I look at, I'll contrast the opportunity we have with Sales Camp with where we are with Podcast Motor. So Podcast Motor has been growing very slowly. We have ups and downs and all this kind of stuff, but it's been about static for the last like 2 years, which is fine with me. It makes like the money that we need, and it's like a really good lifestyle business for me at this point. But I look at the opportunity with Sales Camp, and like the biggest player in the space, Ambassador, was just acquired by a private equity firm. A couple months ago, which means like,
right. I saw that
tens of millions of dollars, you know? And so I'm like, all right. I'm like, you know, get my feet wet with Podcast Motor. I try my place in SaaS with Castos. It's going well, but Sales Camp and like the total addressable market and the lifetime value of a customer and the stickiness of the product is really where like I can make it rain. And just have like a business I could run for a really long time. It's not trendy. It's B2B, all this kind of stuff. And so I look at it and say like, I have to just figure it out, you know, like this is not where I was when we talked last week, Dave, but I look at it now and say like, I look at it now and say like, okay, there's big established players. The need is definitely there. The market is huge. Technology wise, I think we're kind of close. The product definitely basically has been totally rewritten since I bought it, which is part of the problem. I look at it and say, I've had this for almost a year, but really, it really just got good in the last few months. So that's really not fair. But I look at all that stuff and say, like, I need to figure out a way to make this happen, because it's nobody's fault but mine, kind of. You know, it's not like the product, quote, sucks, or the market sucks, or there's not enough people here to buy my product or something. Like, all of that is, those are check marks, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really looking very hard at, like, the phone call you had with your customer, looking at, like, requiring demos again, and tightening the marketing message down, really, 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 really super focused, like SaaS businesses on Stripe, whatever, something else even more focused than that, to say, like, you know, the closing these handful of customers is the way forward. And you know, learn something from there, and then you can grow broader afterwards. But I think where I am now is, like, the product definitely needs some things, and we're looking at addressing those and making it easier for customers to get onboarded. But the marketing and the language that we use has to get really tight to make it super clear to those handful of people that land on the site, you know, hey, this is 100% for me. Craig is talking to me. All of our marketing is going to be talking to this one person, and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's kind of where I've aligned, is like taking some responsibility for sucking up till now, and saying, like, you know, we got to kind of, like, put these pieces together, because, like, it's been done before. We can be competitive, and just have to kind of go make it happen, I guess.
Well, here's a question for you. Do you have a good answer for who is sales camp for? And I don't mean just like sales professionals, like a very detailed, let's say almost a persona, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody that, because that gives you an idea of who you should target and where you should talk and maybe where they hang out. I mean, have you really got that part dialed in? Because that's still something that I mean, I don't want to say I'm struggling with that in recapture, because I know that it really isn't that the same. It's not the same thing that you're dealing with here, but to find, like, the right, like, I know who recapture is really good for, but finding who those things, where they hang out, that's the tough part.
Yeah.
Or how to get in touch with them. I mean, you know, like I said, I would have 100 more of the guy that I talked to today, but do you know who sales camp, who would be most successful with sales camp at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. So from our, you know, whatever handful of customers and sales calls and demos that I've been on that are encouraging, and people are saying, you know, nodding their heads the whole time, it's SaaS applications or marketplaces, like custom web applications that run on Stripe. And most of them want to offer referral programs as opposed to affiliate programs. So the differentiator there, I say, typically is, yeah, like a referral program is something for your existing customers, affiliate programs are something for, you know, bloggers or whatever.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So yeah. You're basically just allowing existing customers to promote and then get credit for that promotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Sales Camp does both, or either, whatever. You can do both in the same program. And we definitely integrate with Stripe, and we have REST API. So all those things already let you say, like, okay, I can hook into Stripe. I can use the REST API to build this into my application. And all those things make it a really nice tool for those kind of people. And so we're using it at Castos, and we've done all those things, and it works really well. We actually use it as an affiliate tool at Castos. We let our customers sign up for the affiliate program and stuff too, but, yeah. So, but I mean, I think the problem is, like, I know the tool really well because I've been involved in, like, the product stuff and working with our developers. But people coming in see a lot of the rough edges on it still, you know, and it's like, oh, what is this thing? And what do I have to do to Stripe here? And you tell me I have to integrate this into my code and all this kind of crap. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is an interesting thing because, like, you know, this is something that I think I touched on with Courtney last week, is that, like, when you get integrated into somebody's app and into their business, you become a really sticky product for them, and you would expect churn to be really low. But conversely, probably like you see a little bit, Dave, like, adoption for those kind of businesses is inherently going to be lower than for ProfitWell versus Baremetrics, where you just hit a button and connect to your Stripe account. It's not a big deal to connect to the other one instead, you know?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of the issue here. You need to make your level of integration as brain dead as what Recapture does, where, you know, we're a Shopify app. You just click the button in the app store and magic happens at that point. Or like with Baremetrics, where you drop the JavaScript into the right place and that magic just happens there.
Yeah.
Or you connect to the Stripe account. I mean, you basically are taking, it sounds like you have friction in your onboarding process right now, where so you come up to somebody and they say, hey, I got to do all this work. And you're like, yeah. And they're like, well, fuck that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
or that's not worth it to me. I got full on
sandpaper on you right now. I mean, it's kind of the nature of the beast. Like, you can't just pass information to Stripe without passing the information to Stripe. You know, I mean, like, something has to happen and we have to send that data somehow. So, and we're looking at some different ways to do it, but yeah, currently it definitely is like, whatever, it's one line of code in your app that you have to add, but you have to add that piece of code in the app. And so, yeah, we're looking at like, what if we gave our customers the option of giving like coupon codes or discount codes instead of using referral links? So then you wouldn't have to integrate anything into the app. It's just like, you know, Bob's discount code obviously attributes the sale back to Bob, right? Because it's Bob's discount code. So we're looking at doing that instead of like, you know, if someone clicks Bob's link, then send the metadata to Stripe or whatever. So we're looking at doing some of that kind of stuff. And you know, there's questions about like conversion rates and all that kind of stuff if people use coupon codes instead of links and stuff. But that would definitely reduce some of the friction for people to get started. It's just how successful would they be if they went that way.
Well, have you also talked to your customers and asked them, you know, so you've had all these great sales calls and then they're not converting afterwards. So do you follow up with them and say, look, I'm going to keep stalking you until you tell me why the fuck you didn't sign up for this thing? Was it too hard? Was it not the right solution? Did you have features that were missing?
No.
Did you not like my beard?
I've been chicken shit about it for sure.
Dude, can't be chicken shit. You can't be chicken shit. Now, yeah. You can be me and do all of those things and then have nobody talk to you, which sucks.
Yeah. No, I mean,
this is an entirely different problem.
Yeah. This is a really good point. I mean, this goes to like a whole different conversation, but so we talked about email tools, whatever, 2 weeks ago. Coincidentally, so Podcast Motor is now on ConvertKit. I've tried to move Castos off of Drip to 3 different providers now, and I keep coming back to Drip, so we're going to stay there for a while. But I think that the high touch level of something like Sales Camp, and you might be in the same boat, Dave, lends itself to the CRM nature of a tool like ActiveCampaign. So ActiveCampaign has like a full-on built-in CRM tool to where you can like pass whatever activity data from an app into the CRM there. And they say, oh, this is a high-value lead or this person has achieved this thing. So you need to trigger whatever this kind of workflow or whatever. So I'm going to look to move to that tool to get kind of more of our activity organized around the really high touch sales and follow up after they can convert or don't convert. Cause we don't have like credit card up front. So we have to actively convert everybody, as they come in the door.
Yeah. Well, I mean, without information, you're just flying blind in the dark here, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, here would be my suggestion to you in this sales camp frustration hell that you've got. All those sales calls that you've done in the last 60 days, spend the next week following up with every single one of them on the phone and just find out what stopped you from signing up with us. I think right there, that'll tell you the next direction where you need to go. Or at least whether, like if they all said, oh, I went to this tool because of this long host of features over here that you just don't have and are not going to get it anytime soon, then you can be like, well, that sucks. mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that I'm just not on feature parity with my competitors, but if they're like, well, I can't use what you're saying, or I'm not going to get value out of this, or it's just not that big of a priority, you know, that tells you a lot too. So, I mean, there's got to be some reason, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is interesting in the conversations I've had, the ones that haven't gone well have all been for different reasons. That's probably one of the biggest frustrations is, you know, hey, can you use discount codes instead of links, or hey, you have a mobile SDK, or hey, you know, can I have like multi-level marketing ability to give like tiered rewards back to like the best people? And I'll like, I've gotten a lot of different requests, and I think it's probably because our marketing is not specific enough. You know, if our marketing is really clear, I just wouldn't get on the phone with some of these people, which in reality is okay. But the ones that came in and saw like, this is the tool for referral programs on Stripe for custom web applications. Okay. Like, you know, we're in the right ballpark at least, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That would make a huge difference, having the right, that your marketing message is attracting the right kind of customers that all have a consistent set of needs.
Yeah.
So that you can address those consistent set of needs without having to be all over the map.
Yeah. Because I mean, it is really discouraging to be searching for product market fit and everyone tell you something different. You know, because then you can't go say, if we build this thing, then we'll be good. Because it's like, fuck, we have to go build these 20 things. You know?
Oh, if it were only that easy.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, so Dave, as part of this, I am strongly considering learning some like code and UI stuff. I feel like I have decent UI chops from working on Castos. Mm-hmm. Learn some code as part of this because like we have a lot of product work to do. So I'm going to be working with somebody on code, I think, like a mentor / developer kind of thing.
So you're going to do like the Brian Castle thing and actually learn, you know, how to build the app yourself.
No, so honestly, I was chatting with Brian in the Slack group that we're in earlier today. Cause I mean, he's really inspired me, honestly. I mean, like, Brian shipping all this crazy stuff he shipped in the last few months is super inspiring. Like anybody who doesn't follow Brian, like on Twitter, CastJam is his handle on Twitter. He's really doing a lot of cool stuff these days. But yeah, Dave, totally. I mean, you know, learning a little bit of Rails won't ever hurt me, you know, in my career. And at this point, like the business needs a lot of product, and it's like, I got to figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely advantage in that, but you know, there's the flip side of it, where you get so mired down in your development. And this is the side where you're not coming from a sales and marketing background, but you're just pure development. Then you just want to live in the code all the time. So
yeah,
that's definitely not good either. But having those skills to be able to build something, to prototype it at the very least, is huge. So yeah, I would, I highly support this.
Yeah. I think the way I'm looking at it is, you know, little tweaks, small features, things like that, I'll probably build. And then, you know, someone that I'll work with will build the bigger things and more kind of mission critical stuff. But, you know, changing a layout here or making this button connect to that thing over there, I can do that. And it's just easier. Like, I mean, part of the pain you see with working with your developer, Mike, is that like, when you need a thing done, you got to say, okay, Mike, we need to do this thing, and how long is it going to take, and blah, 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 and it's 3 weeks. And you're like, how the fuck can this be 3 weeks? Like, just go change these three lines of code and make this thing happen or whatever. Like, it's just...
Well, I don't really have those conversations with Mike, because usually Mike's coming back to me saying, oh, well, did you think of this? And there's this one thing over here. And by the way, we have to update the worker to do this crazy ass thing over here that you didn't realize was
the case for Shopify.
And I'm like... Okay. Yes, I totally get it. You know, so in that sense, I don't have to worry about him bullshitting me, because I know we have a deep trust. And you know, if he says this is going to take this amount of time, it's like that's usually the upper bound of that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But that also means that, you know, if he says it's going to be 144 hours, that I'm like, okay, I can't bring that in. Damn it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a different conversation altogether.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I mean, that's kind of where things are with Sales Camp in a nutshell. I mean, it, and I don't mean to be negative about the tool. Cause I mean, like I said, we use it for Sales Camp. It's we use it for Castos and it's perfect. It does everything we need it to. We have some really cool features in there already and are building some more. And I think it's honestly probably a little bit of onboarding and the friction that we get there, and a lot of just marketing to the right people. So that's kind of where I'm going to focus, you know, here in the next couple of months, because I do think it's worth making it work. You know, like if it was just another kind of flippant business that was just going to be okay, I probably wouldn't worry about it. But I think it could be like a really big, nice business. And so we're going to stick with it.
Yeah. And it's tough because you never know if you've hammered enough on it to say this is the right thing or not. And that marketing, you know, I wish I had great inspirational suggestions on marketing channels to hammer out with this. But, you know, Sales Camp is not in my space of expertise, and I don't know where the people who are doing these things are hanging out necessarily, and you know, with why would they pick your solution over something else that exists out there that are existing referral things. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yep. So I hope this wasn't too much of a Debbie Downer episode, but I think we have like an obligation to kind of keep it real with talking about the downs as much as the ups and the challenges, because especially for folks who are just starting out, this is the reality they're faced with on a regular basis, you know, trying to get some off the ground and have a product and nobody's buying it. And you're like, why is nobody buying it? This is the real hard question. And I think when you have some success, then you look at this even more and say like, fuck, this is just hard. Like, why is this not working out? And it just gets really discouraging. So
that it does. So if you have any comments or suggestions for Craig, send them in, podcast@roguestartups.com. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm sure Craig would love that magic silver bullet to make Sales Camp take off. And if you have a moment and you find that we have been valuable for you, our ask, as usual, is to share our podcast with somebody else you think would benefit. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.